make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your healing power. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Spirit, grant that I may never see much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. O Spirit, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to all that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.
Friends, welcome to worship. It is the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. We'll hear more about that later. But for now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? Come, Holy Spirit. The wind of God, the breath of life. Come, Holy Spirit, our advocate, our counselor. Come, Holy Spirit, teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, granter of forgiveness, giver of peace. Come, Holy Spirit, may we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen. And let's light the Christ candle. If you have one at home, let's do it together, remembering that Jesus came to show us the way to God. And when he left us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's praise God together. Let's pray. Breath of life, Holy Spirit, we welcome you with great joy to be amongst us again today. Come in your gentle power to indwell our souls anew. River of life, flow in us. Nourish us with the water that flows from the throne of heaven. Comforter, friend, blow through this gathering today with the peace that you breathe over us. Spirit of life, fan the flame that you have birthed within us, that it may spread through us across this and other lands. Come, Holy Spirit of God, come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Knowing our God to be merciful, let's come to the throne of grace, seeking his forgiveness. Almighty God, you poured your Spirit upon gathered disciples, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith. We confess that sometimes we hold back the force of your Spirit among us. We hesitate to listen for your word of grace, speak the good news of your love, or live as a people made one in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our timid lives by the power of your Spirit, and fill us with a flaming desire to be your faithful people, doing your will for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news of Pentecost. God's Spirit has been poured out on all flesh, and we have been made one. In Christ, we've been forgiven, and we are no longer scattered or divided because the Holy Spirit has gathered us together into the community of the redeemed to be part of God's work of building the kingdom of God on earth. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
This morning's reading for the first Sunday of Pentecost is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under the heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
As we have been making our way towards Pentecost over the past few weeks, we have been hearing some wonderful stories from the book of Acts and exploring those stories for what they have to show us about living in the ways that the Holy Spirit leads us. We are blessed to live in the part of God's great story when the Holy Spirit is available and accessible for any of God's people. That is really, really an incredible thing when you think about it. But it hasn't always been this way. As we look at the whole biblical story, we can see that there are three fairly distinct phases in the history of humankind's experience with God's Spirit. The first phase is seen throughout the Old Testament. In those times and stories, the Holy Spirit would come but would only rest upon select people and generally only for a limited period of time. The Spirit's presence and leading was very much recognized and desired. But mostly what we see is the Spirit being with single biblical figures for a certain time and for a specific purpose. People living in Old Testament times hoped that one day the Spirit would come and would stay in a much more universal way, available to anyone who desired that direct connection with God. But that was not really their experience. Well, that began to change when Jesus came. As God the Son, he was the bearer of the Holy Spirit. And he embodied exactly what it is like for a person to live filled and in harmony with the Spirit. It's clear that the Holy Spirit was operative in Jesus' own life from the very beginning when he was conceived, right up until he ascended. In Jesus' life, we can actually see the second phase of the Holy Spirit's story with humankind. And Jesus actually also made the way for the third phase of our life with the Spirit. The third phase that began on that Pentecost day when God poured out the Holy Spirit in a whole new way and that Old Testament hope finally became a reality. At Pentecost, God's Spirit came to live among and within people, available not just to a select few, but to anyone who follows Jesus for the rest of their lives. The events of that day were absolutely incredible. It was the Jewish harvest festival of Pentecost, and along with many, many other people, Jesus' disciples were in Jerusalem, gathered together, somewhere near or perhaps in the temple precincts. Suddenly, a mighty wind came and it filled the whole area where they were. And as it did, something that resembled tongues of fire appeared and they came to rest on each of them. Everyone there, each person, was filled with the Holy Spirit as the fullness of God's life and God's love washed over them. They all began to speak in languages that were not their own, languages they'd never learned. The languages that were actually spoken by all of the people who were watching, people who had come from as far away as Rome and even Libya. Miraculously, everyone listening was actually able to understand the disciples as they described the wonders that God had done in and through Christ. It was an unbelievable supernatural experience. And it left the people there both amazed and perplexed. The skeptics spouted off that the disciples were drunk, but Peter rebuffed those jibes. He explained that what they were seeing was exactly what the prophet Joel had foretold would happen one day. God was pouring out his Spirit on all people. Those hopes for God's Spirit to come had been realized, and a new phase of God's story had begun. With the Holy Spirit's arrival, all kinds of people were going to be having visions, dreaming God-inspired dreams, and prophesying. God would be showing his wonders in new and far-reaching ways. exactly so that, as God had said through the prophet Joel, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It really must have been an absolutely incredible experience in and of itself. But even more incredible was all that God was actually doing through all of that on that day. God wasn't just showing off with signs and wonders. God was doing what God does, restoring and reconciling something that had long been broken. Way back early in the biblical story, in Genesis 11, we hear the story of the Tower of Babel. It tells of how humans had gone off course and had grown arrogant and self-serving. In that story, the people decided to build a tower in order to get to heaven. They thought that when they did that, they wouldn't need God anymore. They would be like gods themselves. God realized the danger in what they were doing and in what they were becoming. And so in an act of grace that was designed to protect the world, he foiled their plans. He did that by confusing their language. Up until that point, everyone had spoken one common tongue. But God changed that so that from that point on, humans actually spoke many different languages. By ensuring that they could no longer understand each other, God made sure that they weren't able to work together for nefarious purposes. God knows the power of language. He knew that it can bring us together or it can divide us. The story of the Tower of Babel illustrates how God can use that power to save the world. Well, here at the events of Pentecost, we see God using that power of language again, but this time in the opposite way, not to stop anything. This time, he was unleashing something. And in doing so, God actually turned that story of Babel on its head, or actually, probably more realistically, he actually turned things right side up. In the Babel story, people had tried under their own steam to get to God, and that was their mistake, because we can't do that. No matter how capable we are or how hard we try, we can't get to God ourselves. We need God to come to us. Well, at Pentecost, in love, that is exactly what God did. God, the Holy Spirit, came to us in a much bigger and much more far-reaching way than ever before. In Jesus, God had come to be with us. And then at Pentecost, God took things one step further and actually gave himself to us to live with and within us. When the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out for all people. That's what we celebrate in worship today. That's what we celebrate every Pentecost, that God loves us so much that he wants to come and live within each and every one of us, to lead us to life in the way that life was designed to work. It's a pretty incredible part of our faith, that the very Spirit of God will actually live within each of us. Every time we baptize someone, we pray that the Holy Spirit would come to live within that person and that the Spirit's power would work within them. And because of the events of Pentecost, every time we pray that prayer, we trust God to answer it with a resounding yes. The history of humanity has made it clear that we can't live this life with God that we seek without the Holy Spirit's help. But with the Spirit's help, we can. At Babel, we thought that we could secure that life for ourselves, grab it. But at Pentecost, God graced us with the gift of the Spirit who will lead us to that life through Christ. Well, continuing on in the way he began, the next thing the Holy Spirit did within and among those people at Pentecost, it further reversed that Babel curse. Remember, at Babel, people could no longer understand each other, so they scattered. They were divided. But at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit made it possible for everyone to understand that wonderful news of God's love shown to us in Christ. No one was left out, no matter how far away they came from, no matter how foreign or how different they were. As they all heard and understood the message that Jesus' disciples had to share, they were drawn together. They were gathered into the whole community of Jesus' followers. At the end of this chapter, we hear that wonderful verse. Those who accepted their message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people gathered. At Babel, God had scattered people to prevent them from destroying the life God has for us. But at Pentecost, God the Holy Spirit began a move that still continues today, a move to gather people together into that life with God for good. The Babel scattered was reversed because with the Holy Spirit living within us and leading us, we are drawn into community. That's what he does. A community that is living and moving towards God's good and loving purposes for this world. It's a community that won't destroy the world's life because its whole reason for being is to be a living embodiment and example of that life with God and to expand that life by welcoming all kinds of people to it. Friends, this is what the Holy Spirit is and always has been doing within and through the church. It is what he leads us to every day. We are the people that the Spirit has brought together to be part of that vibrant, life-filled, and life-giving community that is centered on Christ himself. People who are attempting to live in the way Jesus has taught us, as flawed as those attempts might sometimes be. And most importantly, people who are sharing the amazing news of all that God has done and will continue to do through Jesus and through his work on the cross. Since the Spirit was poured out on that day at Pentecost, God's will and God's plan has been, is, and always will be for the church to be that community of people who are gathered and led by the Holy Spirit to gather, to pursue this life with Jesus together, and to share that life with others. Amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit.
Dear ones, it is my honor to pray the prayers of the people with you this week. Please pray with me. Holy Spirit of the living God, as you did 2,000 years ago, birthing your church that would bear your name, blow a fresh wind through our fellowship today, we pray. Renew and enliven us. You are the giver of life, the lover of our souls, and we come in this time to humbly give you all thanks, praise, honor, and glory, asking that you hear our prayers. As you inspired that first gathering in Jerusalem all those years ago, we ask that in your grace, you would ignite within us your love to be the body of Christ that is needed in this world that is often hurting, hungry, and cynical. Empower us to bring good news to the poor and marginalized. Heal the brokenhearted. Announce God's forgiveness to those bound by guilt and shame. Help the blind to see their Saviour and comfort those battered and bruised by life. Flow through our lands, sustaining Creator. In your mercy, we pray that you pour out your living water over your people and cleanse the hearts of those who cause hurt to others, either directly or indirectly, by decisions they make in offices, boardrooms, places of power, or palaces. We pray for those who direct the course of events, those in government and municipal leadership, that they may work for the good of people and creation everywhere. We pray for lasting peace to come to places of war and unrest. Especially, we pray for the innocent victims of these situations, those who are injured, maimed, bereaved, left hungry, frightened, and without hope. Let them see your light. Let your people shine your light in those places. Beautiful Spirit, as we welcome the warmer season, we are conscious that already many wildfires are burning here in BC and across Canada and beyond. Forgive us, we pray, for the things we have done to exacerbate the issues that create the conditions where wildfires become established. We pray that you send healing and renewal upon our land. We pray for the welfare of those living in fire-stricken areas and for the safety and courage of the firefighters. Thank you for those who hear the call to help. We pray for ourselves here, Holy One, that you would blow a fresh wind through this place. We pray for the leadership here at St. Stephen's, that all continue to seek to love as Jesus has shown us. Inspire all of us to love and serve you by serving our neighbors, and to find great joy in doing so. Thank you for the generations who find sanctuary here and who each bring a special distinction to this fellowship. In your love, bring a welcoming sense of belonging to each person here and also to those yet to come. We pray for those we love who have yet to be saved by your grace, and ask that they have eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and hearts open to receive you. Teach us to dance the dance of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, moving with the rhythm that you bring when we come together with you in unity. Let our dance be all-inclusive, joyous, encouraging, hopeful, and loving. We give all praise, honor, glory, and adoration to you, God, as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, thank you for all the ways you give to the mission of God here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray the offertory prayer with me this week, offering these gifts back to God for his purposes? Holy One, you have given yourself to us in Creator, in Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. Now we give back to you. Receive what we offer, and transform it by the power of your Spirit into enough money, abundant praise, and worthy words that proclaim and enact your peace, justice, and love in the world. Amen.
Friends, may the Spirit, who hovered over the waters when the world was created, breathe into you the life he gives. May the Spirit who overshadowed the Virgin when the eternal Son came among us make you joyful in your service to the Lord. And may the Spirit who set the church on fire at the day of Pentecost bring the world alive with the love of the risen Christ. Friends, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you today and remain with you always. Amen.
In the darkness, we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. The
that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their